I know that Mother's Day is bittersweet for many. Maybe we've lost our moms. Maybe we're empty nesters. Maybe we're not moms, or can't be moms, or wish we'd had another child. And maybe mom was not good to us. Now, Jesus, of course, was no mom, though St. Julie of Norwich saw him in him motherly qualities. And when we think of the great mamas of the past and the ones of the present, they do, however, have similar qualities. I think immediately of Monica, mother of St. Augustine. She had influence over one of the greatest minds in the Western world, and interceded for him while he partied, had a child out of wedlock, and did all things to run away from God, until he finally surrendered to the Lord. And I think of Jesus. Where did he learn to pray? No doubt from the synagogue and the carpenter's shop, but also from his mom. The Reformers rightly brought us to consider that we are all priests. We have access to God, regardless of whether or not we are ordained. Moms and dads share in the priesthood of the home. Jesus, of course, is the great high priest. Our gospel today shows us just what that looks like. Mothers and fathers and all of us can hear what that looks like. Last Thursday was the Feast of the Ascension, meaning Jesus ascended to the right hand of the Father and forever makes intercession for us, as the book of Hebrews reminds us. So what does he pray for? John 17 records Jesus praying for his disciples on the night before he is betrayed, right there at the table during the Last Supper. He prays for his disciples, then for those who would believe through their message, and that's you and me. In essence, Jesus prays that we would love. And we defined love a few weeks ago by looking at the cross. Self-sacrifice over good feelings. However, there is also a love that involves deep connection and oneness. This is the love that Christ wants for his followers. To love God, to love each other, and to love the world. Now, Jesus speaks to the Father in his prayer about their relationship before the foundation of the world. This is Trinitarian language. There is a mystery in the nature of God. He is one in essence, and yet three persons. We'll look at that more closely in a couple of weeks on Trinity Sunday. There is a relationship, though, within the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, eternally relating to each other. Theologians call this perichoresis, that is, circulating around the neighborhood, literally. However, it's also speaking of a divine dance between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. As you see in Rublev's icon, the three visitors, angels to Abraham, he depicts as the Trinity, and they are there together at the table, fellowshipping, in essence, in a circular kind of dance. Well, Jesus invites his followers to be a part of this dance. As you, Father, are in me, and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. We are invited to this relationship, a love relationship like no other. We can only get at this by analogy. For me, when I get home in the evening, I walk through the door, and there's a buzz there. There's a hum there. And some might call it chaos, but it's certainly not chaos, because my children are always smiling. And I credit my wife for this environment. They're always happy. There's always a buzz of love. If it'd be possible to hear love, we have it in our home. To a much greater degree, we're invited to the love of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. It's a buzz, a hum of love and connection and glory. Is to love God. Gary Burge says, this is the essence of Jesus' vision for the church. It is not a community that heals people just so they will be whole, though healing is important. It is not a community that teaches so that people will be gratified by knowledge, though wisdom is valuable. It is not a community that evangelizes so that it will grow its ranks, though its mission to the world is crucial. The church is a community that invites people to touch the glory of God, to be changed by it, and to bear it to the world. Second, Jesus prays that we would love each other. Remember the fact that he's praying for us and praying that we would be one. Now, Christians divide at an alarming rate. Another theological term that comes to mind, adiaphora. This is a term that means indifferent things or things of non-essential importance, like what color the carpet is, or how many candles are on the altar, or various arguments about hair-splitting interpretations of Scripture. Christians love to divide over adiaphora. But this goes against Christ's wishes. As one author says, all who place themselves at the will of God and become united with the Trinity also become united with each other. When we are doing the will of God, there is no infighting, there is no bickering. It says a lot that Jesus prays that we be one. When we are at enmity with another, pray that the relationship is restored. Do not bear a grudge, but pray for that person. My grandmother used to pray for all her grandchildren. I know this because my cousin lived with her for a while. And when my grandparents prayed, it was on their knees, and it was not a soft whisper. They were Pentecostals, and they often prayed in Spanish. There was lots of passion behind their prayers. So moms, are you worried about your kids? Pray for them with passion. All of us have a hard time loving others? Pray with passion. Pray that we may be one. Lastly, Jesus prays that we would love the world. The reason for his desire that we be one is so that the world can see and believe that we are his body. As one author says, if we turn to the will of God, we cease to be seen by the world as hypocrites that preach tolerance and love, but fight among ourselves, and we are seen instead as those who have genuine love for God, for each other, and for the world. There is a logical order to things. If we love God, we will love each other. If we love each other, we will love the world. Hear it in Jesus' prayer. Righteous Father, the world does not know you, but I know you, and these know that you have sent me. I made your name known to them, and I will make it known, so that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. When we are filled with love, Christ's name is known, and the local church is just where people are looking to see what that love looks like and to interpret the gospel. Went to clergy conference this past week, and Bishop Ondudu, one of the bishops of Sudan, we had here at Epiphany recently, several months ago, really. Well, we gave him $550 for his diocese. And some other churches in the area did as well, gave him a little bit of money. Well, he says, when he returned, remember he's a marked man there, but when he returned to Sudan, his people didn't have medicine, his people didn't have food. And that money that these churches put together were able to provide medicine and food. Not only that, but under a tree he confirmed 1,000 people. It's not so much that we do great things, but we do small things with great love. I was looking at a picture of myself as a child, and I saw a little Santa Claus pillow in that picture. I said, that sure looks familiar to me. And I remember why it looks familiar to me, because I threw up all over it when I was about 6 years old. And who was there for me but my mom? She was there to get me cleaned up. She was there to care for me. She was there to take care of me in my sickness. Also, I think of my wife. We have 4 children. And with each child, it seems as though the next one gets a little bit smaller. First one, 6 weeks. They're in bed. Let them cry it out. But the next one comes along, and we think, she's kind of small. Next one comes out. comes along and we say, oh, he's kind of small too. And of course, Jacob, our 10-month-old, well, he seems really, really small. So we're always meeting his needs. Well, Sarah has sacrificed sleep all these years to go in to feed and to nurture these children of mine, these children of ours. I think that's amazing. See, both of these examples, all three of these examples, really, not great things, small things done with great love. We love God. We love each other. We love the world. So is Christ's desire. Not that we do huge great things, but that we do small things with great love. Amen.